It's been a stunning start to the UEFA Champions League knockout stages. On Tuesday, last season's finalist Juventus raced ahead against Spurs, but their lead did not last.
Tottenham are on terms in Turin. They've come back from two behind to level it in this first leg. Eriksen delivers with a set piece.
And in Switzerland, Manchester City blitzed Basel.
Gundogan checks onto his right foot and curls in a beauty. His second of the night, and that makes it 4-0.
Then on Wednesday, Paris Saint-Germain took the lead at the Bernabeu before an intervention by Madrid's main man.
Brilliant ball, and Ronaldo's there! And Ronaldo has scored for Real Madrid! Asensio the provider, Ronaldo the goal scorer. It's two for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Marcelo made it 3-1 late on. Meanwhile, Porto were put to the sword by Klopp's tremendous trio.
Salah could be in here, and it's chance for the fourth, and there it is from Roberto Firmino. 30 metres out from goal, Mane! It's a five-star performance from Liverpool.
You'll hear reaction from key players and head coaches, including Jurgen Klopp, Mauricio Pochettino, Hugo Lloris, Pep Guardiola, and İlkay Gündoğan as we analyse the week's action right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel. Four tremendous matches at the start of this season's round of 16. Goals of plenty as well, Andy.
Yes, there really were. And a few little plot twists as well, which we always like, especially with a lot of games ending quite differently to how they started.
OK, let's just do the classified results then for the week's action. Tuesday, Juventus 2, Tottenham 2, Basel 0, Manchester City 4. Wednesday, Real Madrid 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1, Porto 0, Liverpool 5. We will begin with that tremendous fight back by Tottenham in Turin, which was watched for Match Day Live by Phil Blacker.
Taken quickly. Oh, and they've scored already! Shot into the corner across the goalkeeper from Higuain. Tottenham caught out inside the first 2 minutes. Higuain, who scored the first, stands over the penalty against Hugo Lloris. Strikes it right-footed and scores again. Once more, Lloris got a touch to it, diving down to his right. Again, he can't keep it out of the corner. And Higuain scores a second for Juventus in the first 8 minutes of the match. One back by Dele Alli, slips it through for Harry Kane. Kane's onside, he's around Buffon. Harry Kane scores this time. Tottenham are right back in the tie. Kane delivers when it matters most, and Tottenham's pressure, which had been building and building, has paid off.
Here's Douglas Costa trying to change that, though, setting off on a surge in towards the penalty area, then going down inside the penalty area, and it's another penalty for Juventus. Gonzalo Higuain is blazed against the bar and bounces back out again. He can't take the chance. It's the last kick of a quite remarkable first half of football. Tottenham's belief remains intact. Christian Eriksen low under the wall and into the bottom corner. And Tottenham are on terms in Turin. They've come back from two behind to level it in this first leg. Buffon beaten. Eriksen delivers with a set piece. A stunning story developing. It's Juventus 2, Tottenham 2.
Listen, there is still a second leg to play, and it's still open for both teams. I think we showed a lot of character today, a lot of personality against one of the best teams in Europe. Even 2-0 down, we kept belief in ourselves, and that's the key.
Tottenham captain and goalkeeper Hugo Lloris there. Andy, when Spurs went 2-0 down, I really did not back them at all to, let alone get back into it, but get into the tie as a total thing.
No one did. And I just think, you look at Juventus' record going into that game, having conceded one in the previous 16 games. And not just that, but the quality of opposition in that time. I mean, three of those first five clean sheets were against Inter, Napoli domestically, and Barcelona in the UEFA Champions League. They have been keeping out all sorts of teams and all sorts of talent. You really feared for Tottenham. When the first one went in, you thought it's going to be a steep climb from here. But 2-0 down after 9 minutes. The strange thing was, I think in retrospect, you could say Juventus peaked too soon, because that made them play within themselves a little bit. It made them come back and let Spurs take the game to them and let Spurs get a foothold in the game. I think most coaches would encourage you to do that, wouldn't they? They would say, it's 2-0, let's not go hell for leather. We've got 80 minutes still to go and then another 90 afterwards. So let's just get used to what we have for the moment. But in fact, it allowed the momentum of the tie to completely swing.
So many plaudits for Tottenham. The Times, the English newspaper, Spurs back from the dead. The Guardian said Eriksen was irresistible. 9 out of 10 for Eriksen in the Daily Telegraph. 8 out of 10 for the likes of Dembele and Harry Kane. And Spurs manager Mauricio Pochettino was full of praise for his players too.
I feel so proud. We show a great character. Again, a team that in the last three years played 2 finals with amazing experience on the pitch. And for us, that we are a young team playing this competition, I think to show that performance is a thing to be proud and to say to the player, congratulate to the player, because they were fantastic.
Pochettino there speaking after Spurs 2-2 draw at Juve. Adam Summerton, you cover Italian football. Was there a part of you that was disappointed by Juve for the remaining 80 minutes after they went 2-0 up?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll be disappointed with their own performance. It had shades for me of the performance in the first leg against Bayern, actually, in the 2015-16 round of 16, where it was felt afterwards that maybe they sat off too much, that they afforded Bayern too much respect that night. I should say as well that Tottenham, I thought, were excellent, and that shouldn't, that shouldn't be forgotten. That Spurs played very well, but you know what makes Juve so good? What makes them so successful and so special? They completely forgot in the second 45 of last season's final, and I think to a degree they forgot or lost last night. Frustrating performance, really, from Juventus. They just, me and Andy, we talked about it off air as well, and I take Andy's point about it's difficult. You can sometimes score too early in a game, and I think that maybe that was perhaps the case. And the natural instinct, particularly at 2-0, although Juve are not a defensive side, they can defend very well and they would bat themselves. So rather than, you know, chase the game, look to make it open, to keep it maybe fairly tight at 2-0, which is a very good scoreline, and think, well, we could maybe nick another one on the count. And they nearly did that when they got the penalty, if you remember, towards the end of the first half, and Higuain's hit the bar. If that goes in, suddenly it's all totally different and the game plan works. It doesn't go in. Yeah. Spurs then get the 2 goals back, and suddenly everyone's saying, well, Juve got it wrong tactically. So again, like tonight's game, the margins are so fine, but yes, frustrated by that Juve performance.
I guess the question is, what could happen if A, they defend like they can in the second leg, and which is not beyond the realms of possibility, and B, Paulo Dybala comes back?
Yeah, it's another factor, isn't it? Yeah, his inclusion potentially in the team could provide a bit of X factor, couldn't it?
Well, they're going to need that because they need to go to Wembley and score. There's no other way.
I think they missed Matuidi last night as well.
I agree, yeah. In terms of defensive shape, certainly it's helped them control games. I mean, they've not always been that exciting, Juventus, this season, have they?
No.
And it's something that's been discussed a lot in the Italian newspapers. But they've been incredibly effective over the last couple of months, and that's why it was so strange to see Tottenham run all over them for quite a lot of the game.
I've rarely seen a team who's so good at protecting their own box. The performance against Napoli this season really emphasised that. And I think that's probably why at 2-0 up, they probably bat themselves to protect their own box, soak up the pressure, whatever could be offered by Tottenham. But Tottenham were just too good, really, eventually. They kept plugging away and eventually they found their way through. But what Andy says about Juve not being entertaining necessarily is very true. And Allegri, when this is pointed out to him, he says, well, I'm here to win football matches and deliver trophies. If you want entertainment, go to the circus. That is his view, and it's one that, you know, I can totally respect. But they are going to have to, at some point in that second leg, be perhaps a little more expansive and try and control the game a bit more.
What about Gigi Buffon? He's received some criticism for his role in both goals, a little unwarranted in my view. Now, he's come back quite strongly from this sort of criticism in UEFA Champions League football, in fact, in the group stages just last season. What are the odds on him pulling an absolute masterclass out of the bag at Wembley?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised. I think I agree with you that maybe the criticism was a little unfair. I think he was particularly criticised for the Eriksen goal, wasn't he? But people forget that he pulled off a couple of real top saves before Spurs actually scored their opening goal. You know, the point-blank save from Harry Kane. I think it was Eriksen maybe who'd had a shot that he palmed away in the first half as well. So, you know, it's with Buffon, it isn't just his ability as a goalkeeper. People sometimes maybe forget one of the reasons that Juventus are as successful as they are, why the club has the mentality it has and why it's so successful, is because of people like him, because of the demands that he and people like Chiellini and Bonucci, when he was there as well, Barzagli, it's ingrained in the club, it's passed down to the younger players, and it comes from people like Buffon, and he's imperative not just on the pitch but off it as well.
Okay, so who are favourites going into the second leg to progress to the quarter-final? Second leg Wednesday the 7th of March.
Spurs, but only narrowly. I mean, you've got to look at Juventus and say they're a side that's constantly evolving and constantly improving themselves, and that they've reached two out of the last three finals, of course. But what's impressed me so much about Tottenham, and again in this situation, not just how much they've progressed since the UEFA Champions League last season, which obviously was a failure from their perspective, but they've just met and exceeded every single expectation so far, and they've not had it easy. They've had it really tough. You know, they've had Real Madrid, they've had Borussia Dortmund, and now this, and they've totally coped with it. It's incredible.
Okay, so Juve 2, Spurs 2. Also on Tuesday, Basel hosted the runaway English Premier League leaders Manchester City. Your first leg commentator was Steve Wyeth.
Corner whipped in right footed. Gundogan with the header. And this time he beats Vasilic. Wonderful delivery by De Bruyne. Whipped in dangerously. And Gundogan escaped his marker at the near post to flick a header that was simply too powerful for Vasilic to react. And Manchester City lead up Basel by a goal to nil. De Bruyne releasing Sterling left-hand side. Aguero awaits the cross. It's flicked away from him, but Bernardo Silva's arriving. And his shot has just enough power on it to beat Vasilic. And Manchester City lead 2-0. Ball falls for Sergio Aguero. It's 3-0 to Manchester City. And of course, Sergio Aguero has got in on the act. From 20 metres out, a dipping right foot shot that wrong-footed Thomas Vasilic. And Manchester City are 3-0 up in Basel in next to no time. Going it alone for the time being, Aguero now to Gundogan. Gundogan checks onto his right foot and curls in a beauty. His second of the night, and that makes it 4-0 to Manchester City. Gundogan afforded space on the edge of the penalty area, picked his spot and executed to perfection. Basel 0, Manchester City 4.
I'm not saying it's already done, because of course football, I think, happened in respect for Basel, but we make an amazing result. But football is like this. In the first 10 minutes we could go 2-0 down, and after 50-20 minutes we go 0-3. So we didn't defend quite well the long balls, but we were clinical today. We arrived 3 or 4 times, we scored 3 goals, and that competition is so important.
The thoughts of Pep Guardiola there, who knows that Manchester City have made a significant step towards the last eight. Andy, they were simply brilliant, but Ilkay Gundogan getting a lot of the praise, rightly so.
Yeah, and it's been such a long road back to fitness for him. And of course, it's difficult when you're in a club like that, because of course, you come back in and it can take a really, really, really long time to get back into the team. Fortunately for him, I suppose that Manchester City are involved in a lot of competitions and playing a lot of matches this season, which has maybe helped. But I think it's evident how much Pep Guardiola thinks of him by the fact that he's been involved for large parts of this season and been involved really quickly. And Gundogan is a player with such a passing range that, you know, he is someone who can help you control a game. I think he's particularly valuable in a UEFA Champions League context. But, you know, the greatest players, I think, really surprise you. And, you know, I didn't really see him as being the guy who would score a near post header in the first half. That was a terrific goal. Then a wonderful drive for the second one. But Manchester City all around, terrific. A great blend in midfield. Fernandinho was excellent again, as he always is. Bernardo Silva is becoming more and more confident as a Manchester City player. They just have so many tools. I mean, we've got through, what, 2.5 minutes of hearing about Manchester City and speaking about Manchester City, we've not even mentioned Kevin De Bruyne and Sergio Aguero yet.
Well, let's keep the Ilkay Gundogan praise going for a little bit longer, because we can hear from the Germany international now.
I mean, the result was maybe perfect, but I think the way we played, there are still plenty of things to improve. But this is Champions League. It's always tough. It's always difficult. Yeah, but 3 goals. Didn't concede today. That was the most important thing as well. It seems like a comfortable win, but the game was quite intense. I think Basel had also chances to score, but of course we are very happy about the result.
Sergio Aguero belting one in as well from long range. I mean, much of the season's been spent talking about whether Guardiola actually prefers Gabriel Jesus returning from injury, we understand very soon. But Aguero cementing a position that you've long held, that he is certainly was at one point the best player in the Premier League and is still up there.
Yes, absolutely. I never feel like he gets enough credit, both in English football circles and European football circles. He's one of the greats of his time, without a doubt. And if Manchester City go on to get into the latter stages of the UEFA Champions League, the last four or the final or further, he's going to play an absolutely huge part in that. Interestingly, I actually think Gabriel Jesus coming back is important for him as well, because they always had to wrap Aguero in cotton wool a little bit, whereas now that's not such a worry. He's off the leash a little bit more. He doesn't have to play within himself anymore. He can run the channels. He can link play like he used to in his early days at Manchester City and with Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference. Of course, Leroy Sané coming back last night as well. The list goes on and on.
And Mendy not too far away from recovering as well, left back. A quick one on Basel, Andy, before we leave this one. They were very cavalier. They were gung-ho. They did nearly score goals, but were they a bit too risky in their tactics?
No, it's knockout competition and you don't get any prizes for losing the home leg 2-0. I think fair play to them for having a go. And that fortune favours the brave attitude has worked really well for Rafael Vicky throughout the group stages. You look at the results they got against Cisco, especially or away from home, the 5-0 against Benfica. I think they'll look back on this UEFA Champions League campaign with a lot of positives.
Second leg, Wednesday the 7th of March at that one, but City surely heading through. And next on the show, analysis and reaction from Wednesday night's matches.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. Equal Game is a new UEFA Respect social responsibility campaign that positively promotes inclusion, diversity, and accessibility in football throughout Europe.
You're listening to Matchday Live with Andy Brassel and me, Rob Daly. Our review of Wednesday's round of 16 action begins in Spain, where the holders Real Madrid took on the group stage's top scorers, Paris Saint-Germain. Adam Summerton watched the first leg for Matchday Live.
Mbappe has it down the right-hand side here, looks to cross in towards Cavani, left it for Neymar, Rabiot scores! Away goal for Paris Saint-Germain! Here's Neymar, edge of the area, looks to move into the air, Cavani looking to get on the turn, shot's deflected and it's wide. Oh, El Matador's gone close there to making it two, perhaps should have made it two, swiveled on a sixpence just towards the penalty spot, his shot was deflected and it's gone wide and it'll be a corner. They've taken the corner quickly, Marcelo with the ball here to Kroos, who goes down inside the area. Penalty! Real Madrid have a penalty! It's Cristiano Ronaldo, puffs out the cheek, steps up right-footed and hammers it home for Real Madrid! Cristiano Ronaldo, the competition's top scorer, moves into double figures for this season. Asensio gets over his cross, brilliant ball, and Ronaldo's there! And Ronaldo has scored for Real Madrid! Asensio the provider, Ronaldo the goal scorer! On the attack with Asensio, pulls over the cross, oh, it's fired in! Brilliant goal! Marcelo for Real Madrid! And how the atmosphere has changed! The holders are showing their class! Real Madrid 3, Paris 1!
A big result for Real Madrid, particularly as they were behind in this game, struggling in the Spanish Liga, but looking very much at home in the UEFA Champions League. Alongside Andy and myself, of course, is Adam Summerton, our commentator for this one. Adam, 3-1, it's finished. Do you think Real Madrid deserved to win the game, at least in the Bernabeu?
Yeah, I think they probably just edged it in terms of winning the game, but I think Paris will kick themselves somewhat that they've come away with a two-goal deficit, because I didn't think that their performance, particularly the first 80 minutes, warranted taking a two-goal deficit back to Paris. But then, of course, you know, stating the obvious, but this game is 90 minutes, not 80. And the tactical decisions, perhaps, from Emery, his picks to begin with, Rob, would have raised some eyebrows, particularly leaving out Thiago Silva, playing Lo Celso in midfield, maybe to a lesser extent. I don't actually think that you would question those, but what I think people will question is the withdrawal of Cavani after 65 minutes. That changed them tactically. Was it a decision that worked? Did it heap more pressure on them when they were tiring in the closing stages? I think there's an argument to say that probably did.
Yeah, I think they will look back on that, certainly. But like, they just had to be more clinical as well, really. And I think Real Madrid were. And it's ironic, really, when you consider this is the problem that's underpinned Real Madrid's season, that they've not been ruthless enough in front of goal. And that's something that Barcelona have been in domestic competition. That's what has caused this absolutely enormous gap of 17 points at the top of La Liga. But it's something that they were able to find tonight. And we always talk about it, but it's because it's true that Real Madrid are a completely different proposition in the UEFA Champions League. And that they are the holders. I feel they've not always had the respect that they've deserved in the build-up to this game. And, you know, there needs to be a greater understanding.
Wasn't it? They've been below par. They had their cup exit to Leganés. They're way off Barcelona. Everyone was writing off the...
None of those games are in the UEFA Champions League. And that is the bottom line. And that they are built to peak in this second half of the season. And even tonight, I thought they were okay. I didn't think they were great by any stretch of the imagination.
Agree, yep.
If it had ended as a 1-1 draw, I don't really think they could have complained. But it's just that those fine margins that Adam was talking about before. And Real Madrid and Zinedine Zidane, who's received a lot of criticism this season, he made the right changes. He managed the team very, very well, just as he did in the second half of last season, and he deserves an enormous amount of credit for this and getting the substitutions right.
And if you've got a squad where you can bring Asensio off the bench and he can, in the latter stages, and he can create two goals, that says to me that you've got a bit in reserve as well. You know, Gareth Bale came on, Vazquez came on. This is a very good team. And, you know, this is a team that, and I think I said this earlier on, and I'm sorry to repeat myself, but I think it's a really important point to make. Yes, they've underwhelmed in the Spanish top flight this season, but this is a club who, after winning their second successive UEFA Champions League, something that had never been done before, schooled Barcelona in the Spanish Super Cup. And I cast my mind back to the start of the season, and people weren't just saying this is a really good team. They were saying this could be a team that could dominate for a long time. Now, yes, they haven't lived up to that, but they're still a very, very good team, and this is their competition. You know, 12 times they've won it, more than anybody else, and I look, for me, they're the favourites to go on and win it again, to be honest. You know, people will have the debate, and suddenly, you know what, people start throwing the
name
of
Liverpool. Well, I think there's no outstanding, I think it's completely legitimate to say, because there's no real outstanding candidate for it yet.
Well, there are too many outstanding candidates.
Exactly.
Maybe.
And Manchester City, I mean, outstanding in the truest term of the word.
Yes.
And City have impressed, but we still don't know.
Well, I think, Rob, I think it could still be too soon for Manchester City. We'll see. But, and one of the reasons I say that is because of the example of Paris Saint-Germain. I don't believe that this is necessarily a competition, and maybe there are historical examples that will prove me wrong, but whenever I've followed teams and teams who are looking to develop, it takes time, as it has done with Manchester City, to get to a point where you are able to go to the latter stages. Then you're able to go on and win it. I'm still not convinced that Manchester City have grown enough in this competition, and I still see particularly defensive areas you could get at Manchester City, and I wonder whether in the real closing stage, with the fine margins in a semi-final, in a quarter-final, whether that, you know, could come into play. But it's the same with Paris. That's what I mean. It's that development as a team, and that's what Real Madrid have got. You know, they've
is it
been
a mental
there.
Is it
yes
a mental
I think
thing?
A lot of it is mental. Yeah, I do. I think that's a massive factor, the mentality. That
does Real Madrid have that?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, Juventus are another side who've, look, they've been to two of the last three finals as well. You know, will that come into play, you know, when they're away against Spurs at Wembley. You know, will they be able to draw upon all that? I do think it's massive. I really do believe that.
So Paris Saint-Germain tonight, and did Neymar do enough in this game? Did Kylian Mbappe do enough in this game? We're talking about players who cost hundreds of millions of euros between them.
I think they both did a good job, and especially Neymar in the first half caused Real Madrid a lot of problems. Mbappe came into it, of course, he helped create the goal. He came into it more in the second half. I think there are doubts tactically over what happened in the sense that they seem to be less effective when he was moved to centre forward. This has been a recurrent problem. I think they missed Cavani when he went off, as well as missing Mbappe's ability to use his pace to get him round the back. It was almost as if the team was set up for Dani Alves to do that. Well, they've spent a fortune or spending a fortune on Kylian Mbappe to do that, to use his superior pace to get in behind when Real Madrid were going to have to chase the game. So I found that a little bit unusual. I think the real question is, because they have to prioritise getting these two guys who make, as I say, I think an even better front three than MSN, that they're not able to get that top-class defensive midfielder that they feel they've wanted for a long time. And that is particularly important because Thiago Motta, of course, is struggling with fitness at the moment. So Giovanni Lo Celso is shoehorned into this position where he's done a pretty good job in Ligue 1. This was a huge step up for him, and I think he struggled a little bit.
Okay, second leg of this one. You're not going to want to miss it.
No.
Parc des Princes, Tuesday the 6th of March. Of course, we'll have coverage for you on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. And Paris Saint-Germain fans, if you're feeling a bit down now, Adam Summerton has a killer stat that he's going to reveal later about why Paris Saint-Germain might be able to turn the tie around. Elsewhere on Wednesday, the other match saw two former winners of the competition meet. Porto hosted Liverpool, watched by Mark Scott.
And it breaks for Wijnaldum in the area. Mané's hit, and it's through Jose Sarr and in. And Liverpool have the lead out of nothing. Porto 0, Liverpool 1. Salah could be in here, and is. And from out of nothing, Liverpool have another. Well, Porto have self-destructed here. Another lax piece of defending, and it's another member of Liverpool's tremendous trio that has found the net in Mohamed Salah. Mohamed Salah away on the right-hand side. He's got three players further forwards. One of them is Firmino. It's saved, but Mane on the rebound makes it 3-0 for Liverpool. Milner, chance for the fourth, and there it is from Roberto Firmino. Liverpool's tremendous trio are on the score sheet tonight at the Dragao. 30 metres out from goal, Mane! It's a five-star performance from Liverpool, who are bulldozering their way into the last eight of the UEFA Champions League. Porto 0, Liverpool 5.
A brilliant result for Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League tonight. Mark Scott joins us now. Mark, a hat-trick for Sadio Mane, the star of the show.
He was, Rob, but all three of that trio were really at the top of their game. Firmino had a all-round immaculate display, really. He deserved his goal, but he was instrumental in all five of them, really. Mohamed Salah claimed his 30th goal of the season. He's the second fastest player in Liverpool history to get to that milestone. But of course, Sadio Mane, who had been on a bit of a drought of late, ended that in fine style. And they really did just blitz Porto, who had been in splendid form, especially on their own patch at the Dragao. But after a fairly balanced opening quarter of an hour or so, it was almost like Liverpool sized up Porto, thought, right, we've got the measure of you, went to task, and then completely demolished them.
Let's hear from Liverpool's hat-trick hero, Sadio Mane.
I think tonight we deserve to win. We play well and as a team from the beginning until the end. Also, it will be too early to speak about the next round because we have another game. We know how is football, everything can happen. So even was not easy, but I was lucky tonight and scored three goals. But I think the performance of the whole team was great tonight.
Do you think Europe will take note of this performance, Mark?
I think they have to when you consider that this is the heaviest home defeat that Porto have ever suffered in their rich European history. So that's something that is bound to make people sit up and take notice. The stats don't lie either. 25 goals in their last five UEFA Champions League games. Just let that one sink in as well. Liverpool fans as well, the romantics amongst them, may want to be aware of the fact that there are only two other competitive wins on Portuguese soil as well, have been part of European Cup winning runs too. So defensively, they will face sterner tests. Early on, when Porto were tossing the ball into the penalty area, there were a few nervous moments. But you remember all that doom and gloom when Coutinho left? Doesn't seem too many are too concerned about their attacking prowess without him at the moment.
Mark, do you think that could actually help them in the end that Coutinho left? Because, of course, we've seen how deadly that front three can be in UEFA Champions League knockout football. But it does mean, with no Coutinho, that they can kind of add an extra defensive midfielder to the mix, and that could give them a bit of extra protection when they get into the quarterfinals and beyond.
And that's exactly what they did against Porto, Andy, because they stiffened up their midfield, leaving Oxlade-Chamberlain on the bench and playing Milner and Henderson along with Wijnaldum. Truth be told, they didn't really need that extra defensive body in there because Porto didn't really lay a finger on them as the match went on. But that's certainly something that can be an asset for them, to stiffen up the midfield, and with those three going forwards, they don't miss that additional creativity that Coutinho undoubtedly supplied.
Let's hear from the Liverpool manager, Jurgen Klopp.
In the right moments, very aggressive, good defending, good counter-attacking, then keeping the ball. Yeah, move them around if you want. And in this game, it was possible. Usually it's not that easy, but it was not easy tonight. It was hard work, but at the end, the boys enjoyed the work, and that's the most important thing.
Mark, what about Porto? Of course, it didn't go anywhere near as well as they would have wanted. I mean, we look at that team. Of course, there's the disparity between the resource in terms of squad that Liverpool have, but also the fact that there are a lot of key absences for Porto, weren't there? No Aboubakar, no Danilo, the defensive midfielder, as well as in defence, where they had no Felipe, who's their best defender. How much did that weigh in the end?
Well, I think that obviously played a part, but I think they'll just be disappointed with the players that were out there. Didn't live up to the billing that they would have wanted. Yassine Brahimi, who was rested at the weekend with this game in mind, flattered to deceive. He was a threat in the opening sort of 10 or 15 minutes, then faded away. They started with five in midfield, with Otavio tucked in just behind Suarez. Didn't really work. They were sort of flooded in midfield and still caught in the counter-attack by Liverpool. They went 4-4-2 in the second half, looked a bit brighter, but again, they were slack defensively. And I think they'll be kicking themselves because of all of Liverpool's brilliance throughout the game. Their defensive performance was poor, and I think that's something that'll sting Sergio Conceição.
Mark, man of the match?
Well, tough choice. I think that given that he got a hat-trick, I can't really look further than Sadio Mane.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Mark. Quickly, let's turn our attention to Real Madrid against Paris Saint-Germain once again. Adam, what's that stat that might give Paris Saint-Germain supporters real hope of a turnaround?
Well, I suppose we should recall that they lost 3-1 away to Real Madrid in the UEFA Cup quarterfinals in 1993. And won the second leg 4-1.
I remember it well, Adam.
Antoine Comboire, winner.
Oh, you do actually.
What a header that was. I'm older than you guys.
Of course, all right. All right, Adam, man of the match for what we've seen at the Bernabeu.
Well, it has to be Ronaldo, doesn't it? Two goals.
All right.
Another big performance from the big man.
Andy, man of the matches from Tuesday's games, please. Juve Spurs and Basel City.
Christian Eriksen, Ilkay Gundogan.
Not bad choices at all, gents. Thank you very much for your company this evening on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. That's all we have time for on this week's show after two thrilling nights at the start of the knockout stages. On Tuesday, Tottenham Hotspur turned it around in Turin to draw 2-2 at Juventus, while Manchester City were magnificent in brushing aside Basel 4-0 in Switzerland. Then on Wednesday, Real Madrid came from behind to establish a 3-1 lead over Paris Saint-Germain, Cristiano Ronaldo, with two of the goals, while Liverpool have a 5-goal advantage over Porto ahead of the second leg at Anfield in 3 weeks' time. All of the front three scoring, Sadio Mane with a notable hat-trick. Join us from 19:30 Central European Time on Tuesday, the 20th of February. We have commentary of Chelsea against Barcelona at Stamford Bridge and extended updates on Bayern against Besiktas. And then on Wednesday, the 21st, our main game is Sevilla against Manchester United, previous UEFA Europa League winners, of course, facing off. Plus, we'll bring you all the action from Shakhtar Donetsk versus Roma as well. Until then, from Andy Brassel, Mark Scott, Adam Summerton, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Looks to cross in towards Cavani, left it for Neymar. Rabiot scores!
Salah could be in here, and it. And from out of nothing, Liverpool have another.
It's Cristiano Ronaldo, puffs out the cheek, steps up right-footed, and hammers it home for Real Madrid.
Milner, chance for the fourth, and there it is from Roberto Firmino. And all of Liverpool's tremendous trio are on the score sheet tonight at the Dragao.
Asensio, the provider.
Performance from Liverpool, who are bulldozering their way into the last eight of the UEFA Champions League.
And on the attack with Asensio, pulls over the cross, oh, it's fired in! Brilliant goal! And how the atmosphere has changed! The holders are showing their class! Real Madrid 3, Paris 1.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.